and they're questioning, do you not care that we are about to die? You're just sleeping, we're about to die. Do you not care that we're about to perish? And then he first, as it says, rebuked the wind and the raging of the water. And then he questioned their faith. Well, notice the order too. First he took care of the situation, and then he taught a lesson.
Yeah.
So we have here a great picture of really something that we all experience in our lives. And that is the fear that comes from external and internal sources. We have the storms that rage, but we have the water that fills us. So external, maybe that's stuff that may be somewhat in our control, maybe not in our control. It might be external pressures of finances, or it might be with work or family or friends or certain circumstances that happen. Those are external forces that come about.
Right.
And they can cause great distress and trouble. And I will freely admit to you that one of my problems that I struggle with is worrying too much. I'm better now than I was when I was a kid, but I worry too much about things. I sometimes can't just shut my brain off and start thinking of all these scenarios.
Yeah.
It's always, well, what if this happens, and this happens, and this happens, and it's always thinking of the worst possible situation. So many times there are external forces that I have no control over. And so I worry and worry, and it doesn't do a bit of good.
Yeah.
And what that ends up being is my boat gets filled up with water from the inside. My own worry, my own anxiety, my own cares are filling up my boat and making the situation worse. I feel more in peril and in jeopardy. But what I should do is have faith.
Yeah.
Now we can look at the 16th chapter of John, and it's a reminder to us. It may not always be the first part may not always be a fun reminder, but the second part is. Jesus tells, and I'll just begin with the statement in the then the Lord was going to send them back into battle in that same location. And they were terrified because they had been destroyed the last time. But the Lord was with them. The Lord delivered them. And there they set up a stone that was an Ebenezer stone. And it was a sign and a remembrance that the Lord was with them and that the Lord delivered them. Brothers and sisters, in our lives, we need to be putting down some Ebenezer stones. Because in this world, we shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. Christ has overcome the world. And guess what? I believe firmly that all of you have had tribulation. And I believe firmly that you have come out on the other side of some of those circumstances. And what we need to do is we need to set up an Ebenezer stone. We need to put down a remembrance so that when we go through the next time of tribulation, we're not fearing for our lives and that we're going to sink in that ship, but we can look back at that Ebenezer. And we can remember where the Lord has brought us through in the past. And He will bring us through again. We are in Christ. And that is where our peace lies. There is nothing that this world can bring us that will change that. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. The worst that this world can do is to take our lives or those of those that we love. But that is not a loss. That is a victory. Because that just means that we are with God. There is no losing because Christ has won the victory and we have been made more than conquerors through Him that loved
us. Yeah.
But we will experience tribulation. We will experience storms. We will experience waves. But we remember that our peace is in Christ and He has overcome all of that so we can have comfort and we can have security. That's the faith. As the brother said, it's not faith in us. It's faith in Him.
Yeah.
And it's His faith.
Right.
Now, the Bible talks a good bit about the subject of worry. We'll go to the 6th chapter of Matthew. And this is, I think in my Bible, this is one of those pages that has kind of gotten wore out a bit because I've read it so much. Because it's one that I need to be reminded of. care for it more than he cares for you.
No.
And if he's going to take care of all of that, how much more is he going to take care of you?
Yeah.
How much more does he love you? Is he going to clothe you? I'm reminded of Adam and Eve. You know, they weren't too worried about what they were wearing until they ate of that fruit. And then they knew they were naked, and they sewed together fig leaves to wear. Now, I wore a fig leaf suit, and I don't plan to. It doesn't sound like it'd be very comfortable. But God, He rebukes them. He has judgment on them. And then he made them clothes. The skin of animals, the coats of animals, which, as an aside, showed us an early picture of for us to be covered, there must be first a death.
Right.
But he, even in his rebuking and judgment, he still comforted and cared and showed compassion to them and gave them comfortable clothes to wear. How much more will he clothe you? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. You know, when you pray, you're not telling him something that he doesn't already know. Now, I'm not saying we don't need to pray. We still need to pray. We still need to recognize what we are relying on God for as well. But he knows everything you need. When you don't know what you need, he knows what you need. Seek ye first, like checklist or step-by-step instructions, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. Doesn't only take a little thought for the morrow. It says take no thought for the morrow. For tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. That's why we're also taught not to assume a tomorrow. Not say that I will go to such and such and such and such, but if God will, Lord will, he'll act. Take no thought for the morrow. It's the worrying and anxiety and the need to not stress out about things is one of those lessons that is repeated over and over. We'll go to another place. We'll go over to Philippians. The fourth chapter of Philippians, starting with the fifth verse. First it says, let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. It says, be careful for nothing. Now, that doesn't mean that you need to take off your shoes and run over hot coals or fire. That's not, don't have care for anything. Don't worry about things. Be careful for nothing. What are we supposed to do? All those times I lay in bed, and had all the scenarios and all the probabilities, because yeah, I did that, I bet there's a 50% chance of it. I drove myself crazy. Instead of doing all that, what should we do? In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. He knows the needs that you have, but you need to make Now, the answer to the prayer may be yes, it may be no, it may be not right now. It will be in due season. When the time is right, that's when God will answer the prayer. But He answers prayers. They are sweet-smelling savors. They are incense rising up, the prayers of the saints.
Yeah.
So instead of being careful for everything, worrying about everything, we take it to God. We lay our burdens at His feet and not try to carry them ourselves because we don't have the backs for it. We lay it down at His feet. In everything. And what's the next step? Well, it ain't yours. It's what God does. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, we can't understand. talking about the hours, but this gives us clear hours too. The evening was come. That would be 6 o'clock. That evening started. The evening was come. It says, and the ship was now in the midst of the sea, just so you understand, this means middle. It was in the middle of the sea. It wasn't bouncing around on the bank. Tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary, and in the fourth watch of the night. So you got those watches that are separated by 3 hours. They're starting at evening, and in the fourth watch of the night. They weren't out there for 15 minutes. They were out there for hours in this situation. And this is an account that's mentioned in 3 of the Gospels. And we read that they were 5 and 20 furlongs. That's going to be about 3.5 miles. They were at the Sea of Galilee, which is about 7 miles. So guess what? That midst kind of works out better. They were in the midst, in the middle, and they were battling for hours and hours and hours. So they were fearful. They were afraid, and they were exhausted. Let's go to one of these. If I can find it quickly here, we'll go to Mark. Same account, but a lot of times you look at these accounts, and you have the parallel accounts in other Gospels, you'll get little things in the different Gospels that sort of enhance and put it all together, it gives you a very vivid picture of what's going on. So here in the 6th chapter of the book of Mark, we have the same account. And I'll just start reading it. It's sort of shorter. We'll start in the 47th verse. And when evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. He saw them toiling in rowing. He was in the mountain. They were 3.5 miles in the sea. And he saw them toiling in rowing. Did he know what situation they were in? Absolutely. He saw it. Now, I don't know about you, go over the mountain, that's the one, go 3.5 miles out in the sea, and see if you can see them rowing from there. That's not natural, that is supernatural. He saw them in the condition that they were in. And then, just like when he rebuked the storm, rebuked the water, first, what did he do? He came out to where they were.
Yeah.
He walked on the water.
Yes, he did.
And, yeah, that's not natural either. No. He walked out on the water. Now, they thought him to be a spirit. And you think they have just been with him. They know what he looks like. How could they mistake him for a ghost walking out there? Hours and hours toiling and rowing. They were exhausted. You ever get the point where you're just so tired, you're laying in bed? What I'll do sometimes is I'll be kind of, my eyes will be drifting closed, and then I'll have all this random, like, weird thoughts. And I'll be like, okay, I know that I'm tired because that's the only time I have those kind of weird thoughts. You know, it's almost like mini hallucinations or something. You just have these strange things. When you're exhausted, your mind is not working at peak performance. Your body is not working at peak performance. They were not in a good situation. They were exhausted. There he is. They thought him to be a spirit. but it also can be a fearful thing. If you oppose him, the I am can knock you back. But he brings them comfort. He calms the sea. We know that we went back to Matthew. We know about Peter. Peter, the blessed and zealous apostle. He wanted to walk out there too. And we knew that as long as his eyes were fixed on Christ, he was safe. But as soon as those storms and all those waves, the wind distracted him.